بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سورة الأضحى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى، ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. Now, first, what is الضحى? الضحى is the beginning of the day, the forenoon after sunrise, and in it there is the brightness and the light. And what about al-layl? Al-layl is night. Wal-layli idha saja. The night, when it covers with its darkness, covers the earth with its darkness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by two distinct things. First of them is the day, forenoon day, the daylight and the brightness after sunrise, when it dissipates and fills the earth with brightness and light. And the other is al-layl, is the night. And with its darkness covering the earth, so the night and its darkness. Two distinct and two contrasts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath by both of them. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forsake you not, nor hates you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he didn't abandon you. So he neither forsaken you nor hated you. Rather, you are the most beloved of the creation to Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him for his greatest message and for his best ummah, best nation, and made him the final and last of the prophets. Just a second. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for the greatest of the messages and for the best of the nations, and made of him the final and last messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there is no prophet after him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was one of the highest degree of love. He attained the highest degree of love, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is al-khulla. Al-khulla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him as his khalil, achieving this highest degree of love, pure and sound friendship. And none from the creation except he and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam attained this level. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. In the hadith reported by Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen me as his khalil, his pure and sound friend, and as he had done with Ibrahim alayhi as-salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his prophet, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, as in Surah At-Tur 52 verse 52 verse 48, Surah At-Tur. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. So wait patiently, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم for the decision of your Lord, for verily you are under بأعيننا, under our eyes. So the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves him and takes care of him and protects him. نعم. And he is the one, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed in Surah Al-Shu'ara in 26:219, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. Allah, the one who sees you when you stand up to pray the tahajjud, the night prayers, and your movement amongst those who prostrate the compulsory congregational prayers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not abandon him. To the contrary, he encompassed him with his knowledge, with his mercy, and with his care, and with all that which entailed lifting him in his status in this life and in the hereafter. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about this in Surah Al-Sharh, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and have we not raised high your fame. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Verse 4 please. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, and indeed the hereafter is better for you than the present life of this world. Al-akhirah, the year after, is the day of resurrection. And people will end after that to their abodes, either in paradise or in hell. We seek refuge in Allah from hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the hereafter indeed is better for you than this lowly life or this life of this world. Why? Because in the hereafter, there is, yani, from that which the eye had never seen, nor an ear have ever heard of, nor that had come of the thought of any yani, person. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, لَمَوْضِعُ صَوْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, a place in paradise as small as the bow or lash of one's of you is better than all the world and what's in it. And what's in it. And this hadith is reported by Muslim. And that's why when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given the choice in his illness between living in this life as long as Allah wishes and between the other choice, and that is to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he chose that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he himself, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, declared in his sermon, in his khutbah, when he was standing on the pulpit and said, إِنَّ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ أَنْ يَعِيشَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَعِيشَ وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَهُ. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. A slave of Allah, Allah had given him the choice between living this life as long as Allah wishes and between taking that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he chose that which is with Allah. So Abu Bakr, when he heard him, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, he cried, and people were astonished for his crying. How could he cry from something like this? Lakin, however, he, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the most knowledgeable of the messenger. Hello Francis. He was most knowledgeable of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he knew that this person who had been given this choice is none but the messenger himself, and that he had chosen that which was with Allah, and that means the hereafter. And that indicated that his death, the Prophet's death, was coming soon. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 5, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And verily your Lord will give you all, meaning all good, so that you shall be well pleased. Well pleased. Here the term sawfa, will, it really denotes that it is certain to occur even after a while, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you all good, that you shall be well pleased. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all that which pleases him. So Allah will raise him on the day of resurrection and honor him with the highest honor of station of praise, praised by the first and the last, even the prophets, and those of them who are the prophets of steadfastness on deen from the messengers, cannot attain this level which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So when the day of resurrection, on the day of resurrection, people will be in a state of distress and sorrow, and they will be confined and waiting for the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will go for each other, checking as to who of them will go and seek someone to intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. So they go to Adam, then to Nuh, then to Ibrahim, then to Musa, and then to Isa, to Jesus. And these are five of the great messengers of steadfastness. The first of them is the father of humanity, that is Adam, and then Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. And these four, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, are from the Ulul Azm, firm on deen. All of them will ask to be excused from seeking this intercession with Allah for the creation until they reach the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereupon he stands and seeks intercession from Allah, and Allah will give him the intercession. And this is from the great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. None of the creation will attain this degree. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, informs the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, some of his favors which he had already done for him as an indication for the favors that came later. There he reminded him, Allah reminded him, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, in verse number 6, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته, in verse number 6, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Can we have verse number 6 please? Didn't he not find you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, an orphan and gave you a refuge? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him refuge and sheltered him. He was an orphan from the father's side, an orphan from the mother's side. His father died before he was born, and his mother died before he was weaned. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sheltered him and made easy for him as to who will take care of him and raise him and defend him until he reached the objective and the aim set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said fa'awa, and look at the verse at the end, at the one before it, fatarda, awa, al-ula. So there is now a matching with the pronunciation of the letters at the end of each verse. And also there is another benefit here, there is another significant benefit, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fa'awa and didn't say fa'awak. Allah said fa'awa but didn't say fa'awak, meaning that it is much more, this shelter transcends the Prophet himself. Indeed Allah sheltered him and made of him a shelter, made of him a shelter for the believers, and Allah gave them victory and support. And repelled harm of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and also reminds him, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. The next verse please, verse number 7. He found you unaware, not knowing. And he found you unaware, not knowing. Not knowing the Quran, not knowing the Sharia, the prophethood, the messengership. Not knowing. So he didn't even know anything before the revelation. As Allah stated about him in Surah An-Nisa 4, chapter 4, verse 113, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ, and he taught you that which you didn't know. Also we read in Surah Al-Ankabut in 29 verse 48, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ, neither did you read any book before it, meaning this Quran, nor did you write any book whatsoever with you with your right hand. In that case indeed the followers of falsehood might have doubted. And this is one of the wisdoms for the fact that the Prophet ﷺ didn't know how to read and write. And this is clear in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither did you read any book before it, meaning this Quran, nor did you write any book whatsoever with your right hand. In that case indeed the followers of falsehood might have doubted. Meaning if he would have known what, you know, how to write and read, they would have, you know, doubted that he may have taken it from previous scriptures and so forth. So he was from the unlettered. He was from the unlettered. Neither he reads nor he writes. But he reached to this great status by way of revelation. By way of revelation which Allah brought down upon him. فَعَلِمَ وَعَلَّمْ, and thus he knew and he taught. فَعَلِمَ وَعَلَّمْ, and thus he knew, he gained knowledge and he taught it. Here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fahada, and he didn't say fahadaka, in order that it also becomes comprehensible. For he had been guided alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was a guide himself. Allah guided others by him. So he is a guide and he himself is guided alayhi salatu wasalam. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا, in the next verse number 8, and he found you poor and made you rich. Not only that, he made him rich, and he was a source of enrichment for others. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Fath 48:20: وعدكم الله مغانم كثيرة تأخذونها. And Allah has can we have this verse inshallah, Surah Al-Fath 48:20: and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you abundant spoils that you will capture, and he has hastened for you this. Naam. So there was so much wealth that the Muslims gained from the kuffar under the shade of swords in the battlefields of jihad. Many great earnings, all because of this messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were guided by his guidance, by his way, by his direction, and followed his sunnah. فَنَصَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them victorious by virtue of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they earned from the east and west, from the lands of the east and west. And then from this there is a lesson: had this ummah now, if this ummah would return to that upon which the as-salaf as-salih were upon which the righteous predecessors were upon, meaning from their creed and from their way of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'ada an-nasru ilayhim, victory will return to them, and also richness and self-sufficiency and might and honor. Yet it is regretful that the Muslim Ummah in our times, each is looking for their own selfish shares, leaving that which constitutes for them a victory. And it is clear for everyone who looks at the current affairs of the Muslim Ummah would find it really in a state of disgrace, and that such status is a cause of great evil, and certainly also that which comes from the way of the Jews and the Christians, who are supporters of each other, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 51: يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 51: O who you believe, take not the Jews and the Christians as awliya, as friends and protectors, that and helpers, that are but awliya of each other. And they, the Jews and the Christians, are in agreement in their enmity towards the Muslims. None of them want the Islam and its people, nor do they like to see Islam in a state of might and honor. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to his deen despite these conditions. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to his deen and his book, irrespective of what will happen or may happen to the Muslims. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states clearly in Surah Al-Imran 3:140: وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And these are the days which we turn between people. So these are the days which, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them by turns. And these days could be good, and they could be also bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns them. We give them to men in turns, or by turns, that Allah may test those who believe, and that He may take martyrs from among you. And Allah likes not the polytheists and the wrongdoers. And there will come certainly the day where the Muslims will engage in the jihad of the Jews, until the Jew will hide under, until the Jew will hide under a tree, under the tree. And this is one type of the trees. It's called Al-Gharqad. I'm sorry, I have to correct that. This is that the Jew will hide behind the rock and under a tree or trees, and the rock and the tree will call to the Muslim, call the Muslim, addressing him, Ya Muslim, Ya Abdullah, O Muslim, O slave of Allah, this is a Jew underneath me or behind me. And the Muslim will come and kill that Jew. And in the hadith, except for one type of tree, and that is Al-Gharqad, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ شَجَرِ الْيَهُودِ, except that type of tree which is called Al-Gharqad, for it is from the trees of the Jews. And for Allah, that is not hard or difficult. And by the way, many of the Jews know of this hadith. Many of the Jews know of this hadith which I just related to you. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. They know that it's coming. And I remember, and this is on the side, I remember vividly a story of one of my own relatives. And he had two apartments in Palestine, in his village, which is in the northern Galilee in Palestine. And he rented them to the Jewish families, and they told him one day that, today we are renting from you, but there will come the day where we will expel you from here. And this was in the 40s, 1940s. There will become a day when you will be expelled from here, and we will take over your home and land and so forth. And if you come and you return to fight for your land under banner of nationalism and or Arabism, you will fail. But if you come and fight us under the banner of Islam, you will prevail until the stone will speak. And then he narrated this hadith to this relative of mine, and I was sitting listening to him. I was sitting listening to this old relative of mine, and I told him, do you know that this is a hadith? He said, no. So I sent for the book by Minhaj, book titled Minhaj al-Muslim, Minhaj al-Muslim by Al-Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, Hafidhahullah. It's called the Minhaj, the way the Muslim should follow, meaning his deen. And I read the hadith for him. He was so amazed. And it was obvious then that these people, these particular people upon whom the story was related, knew of this hadith. And nowadays, it is not really totally surprising because we hear many of them mentioning this hadith. However, the Muslims, they need a wise and knowledgeable leadership, knowledgeable in terms of ahkam al-sharia, the laws, the Islamic laws, before everything. Because leadership that is not, that doesn't benefit from the light of sharia, Allah will punish it, irrespective of the degree it may reach. Even if it would reach a higher degree, it will really go really down and deep down. Because guidance is in Islam, with the light of Islam, not by nationalism, nor by bigotry. Nor by nationalism, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, or the like. It is in Islam alone. Islam alone is the thing that will take care of bringing might to the ummah. But the ummah needs wise leaders, wise leadership, putting things in their proper places. وَتَتَأَنَّى فِي الْأُمُورِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ, and to be patient in its affairs and not hastening. And people, it's impossible to correct the people and to reform them overnight. And anyone who seeks a way like this is indeed looking to change the sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah. And the way of Allah does not change. This is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stayed in Mecca 13 years receiving the revelation. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And calling people by way of good. Yet despite all of that, he was forced out of Mecca in fear and in disguise. I have no idea, wallahi, Sister Iman. No, anyway. So the da'wah did not complete in Mecca for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So why is it that we want to change the ummah, which has been in a state of heedlessness and in sleep? Which wants to change it overnight? This is insanity and misguidance in religion. The ummah needs kind treatment, and calling and da'wah in that which is good. The Islamic Ummah, after its need for fiqh in deen and hikmah and wisdom, needs also knowing well concerning its status quo, and needs to be intelligent and also experienced, and far-sightedness as well. Because the results may not appear in 1 month or two or 1 year or two. However, the same person perseveres and looks for the future and contemplates, so that he recognizes the correct thing as to what to do. Also, the affairs require fairness and perseverance and determination. All of this is needed. Fairness, motivating man. Perseverance, to give him steadfastness. Otherwise, many things will not be achieved, or all things may not be achieved. We seek all the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah ta'ala let's continue. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Therefore, treat not the orphan with oppression and compulsion. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sheltered you while you were an orphan, so don't compel and oppress the orphan, except in cases where the compelling is needed, where there is a benefit. And in this case, it will not be considered as compelling, although apparently it may be. But it is in the best interest of the orphan then. So don't compel the orphan, rather treat him with honor and with goodness, and treating them as such is a matter commanded by the Sharia, and from the great good things in this Sharia. Because this person whom al-yateem, the orphan whom his father died before he reached the state of puberty, has a broken heart which requires mending, requires comfort, needs comfort, and needs someone to bring delight to him, especially if he had reached a stage or an age where he is able to distinguish the matters, as if when he is 17 or when he is 7 rather, or 10 years of age and the like. Then O Muhammad, verse 10 now, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And repulse not the beggar. And the first to not to be repulsed is the one who comes seeking knowledge about the Sharia. Don't repel him. If he asks you to clarify matters of Sharia for him, then it is ordained upon you to make it clear. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al Imran 3:187, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant of those who had received the book, that they should make it clear and explain it to people and not conceal it. Chapter 3, verse 187. And remember, when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the Kitab, Al-Kitab refers to the scriptures, of course, in this case the Jews and the Christians, to make it known and clear to mankind and not to hide it. So don't repel him or repel him, because he may turn away. And if you repel him while he feels that you have the upper status, then his senses may be disturbed and he may go into a state of fear and then not understand what you are telling him, or you may not understand even from him what he is saying. And consider yourself in that situation. And also, hi Susan, and also enters under this ayah is the person whom is a beggar or seeking money. Then also don't repel him. And this is the general stance that you should have. However, this may be limited in certain situations. For example, if you see the person who is seeking to know about a certain matter of deen, if you see him stubbornly zeal or zealous or in a state of obstinance, taking your opinion and then go to take the opinion of others and others to strike the opinions against each other, if you knew that, then here you may repel him and you have the right to repel him. And you may tell him, oh such and such, fear Allah. Didn't you ask such and such and now you come and ask me? Do you use the deen of Allah for play? Do you want that if people give you a religious verdict which you like, then you keep silent and accept it and like it? And if they do so and you don't like it, you go and ask others? In this case, the type of these people, then you may repel them, because this is an educational process. And similarly with the person who asks for money, if you knew that he is rich, then you have the right to repel him and even called at him for his asking. So this generalization of prohibition regarding these matters is restricted if there is a benefit that may require that restriction, and there is no problem with that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the last verse, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, and then proclaim the grace of your Lord. And this encompasses all forms of grace that Allah found you an orphan and he sheltered you, and he found you unaware, not knowing, and he taught you and guided you, and found you poor and made you self-sufficient. So in these matters, in these three types of grace that Allah bestowed upon you, then speak about them. Say, O Muhammad, then I was an orphan and Allah sheltered me. I was unlettered and unaware, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me. And I was poor and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me self-sufficient. But you speak about these matters in order to make the ni'mah of Allah known and to be yourself in a state of gratitude, not to be proud and arrogant and think yourself lofty above people. All of this would be then blameworthy upon you. However, if you speak of the ni'mah of Allah, of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as someone who is thankful to Allah for that, then this is a matter which Allah commands. These are some words, therefore, concerning the meaning of this surah, this great surah. And what we say regarding this surah, or what others from the people of knowledge say regarding it, none can really fully comprehend what's entailed by the Quran from the great meanings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us the understanding in his deen and to act upon it. He is able to do all things. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So this is the tafsir of Surah Al-Adha completed, alhamdulillah. Tomorrow inshallah we go for tafsir Surah 94, which is Surah Al-Sharh. Surah Al-Sharh 94 inshallah ta'ala. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ألم نشرح لك صدرك. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وإياكم. طيب, any question? Then the mic is open. Inshallah, mic is free now.